The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And at this time, we want to welcome all of our podcast audience, and we welcome those that will be listening or viewing this either live or by replay. Today, I want to be dealing with final election thoughts. We're going to cover some stuff that I think you'll find interesting today on today's podcast. There is many charismatic Pentecostal leaders, what would be deemed to be modern day prophets, pastors, and so forth that have come forward especially over the last week or so, that have now unequivocally declared that President Donald Trump will win a second term. So we're going to cover that today. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about some warnings that those other individuals outside of America are warning about foreign relations and what the impact could be if certain things don't go in a certain direction with the election. We're also going to be talking about a popular conservative writer that's warning the consequences that if Biden wins the election. And then we're going to close this segment by talking about how cities in America are preparing for the outcome of the election and what could happen. So let's get after this thing and let's go forward. So the first half of this podcast, I want to talk about some of these what would be deemed as modern day prophets. I don't want to say self-appointed or alleged, because some people may take offense to that. Because some of these people I do know personally, some of them I do not. So all I'm going to do is give you the information you can do with what you want with that. But the first one here, this was posted by Steve Strange of Charisma News. And he did a segment on Jeremiah Johnson. Now, some of you'll know who this is, some of you may not. But Jeremiah Johnson, a few weeks ago, made three predictions, or he gave a prophecy of three things. And again, I know people is going to comment in the section here on their Facebook Live, but please restrain from disrupting the comments until we get done, and then we'll talk about this. He said, I'm just going to read this quote. What do the Dodgers World Series win, Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett's installation, and Trump and a Trump win have in common? Prophet and ministry leader Jeremiah Johnson prophesied that all three events would take place. Consequently, we know all but one of these have come to pass. That would be the Dodgers winning the World Series and the Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett being installed in the Supreme Court. Now, I'm going to read you this. This is from Johnson. This is from Jeremiah Johnson. Quote, this was in a podcast that he did with Charisma News. Quote, I had a prophetic dream several weeks ago that I walked up to Lou Engle and handed him two tickets to the World Series where the Los Angeles Dodgers were playing. In case you didn't know who Lou Engle is, he's one of these pioneers of prayer and intercession. He's led these huge movements. He was instrumental in the Azusa revival thing. Not the original Azusa, but the movement that they did a few years ago when they went to California and did it. He headed that up. He's head up many prayer movements. But anyway, Johnson says that, quote, I walked up to Lou Engle and handed him two tickets to the World Series where the Los Angeles Dodgers were playing. Johnson went on to say that, quote, and I had said to Lou in the dream that there was a message that God had for him. And so when I woke up from the dream, I looked up where the World Series was being played. Jeremiah Johnson said at that time he did not know. And he learned that it was being played in Texas. He said that, quote, I found this significant because this is where Roe versus Wade was passed into law. And then the games were being played at what was called Globe Life Stadium. And he went on and said, I believe that was significant. He went on to say that, quote, so then I woke up, and as I woke up from this prophetic dream, I decided to reach out to Lou personally and share this dream with him. Johnson went on to say that, quote, "And while I was talking with him, I began to prophesy to him. Even before the World Series, I said to Lou that I believed that the Lord had spoke to me that the Dodgers would win the World Series." Now, I don't know what your take is on modern day prophets saying that the Lord tells them who's going to win the World Series or who's going to win the Super Bowl. If you remember a while back, there was a alleged prophet by the name of Bob Jones that he alleged that when you see the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, win the World or the Super Bowl, then that was going to be a sign that God was going to bring revival and that it would sweep through the Kansas City, Missouri region and so on and so forth. Thus, we do know that the Chiefs did win the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and nothing has ever happened. There was no revival. There was no awakening. None of these things happened. I'm just throwing that out there just for a talking point. But nevertheless, Johnson claims, he says, quote, that I believe the Lord spoke to me that the Dodgers would win the World Series, and that this would, quote, be a sign that God is not done with Los Angeles or California. Again, you could do with what you want with that. I'm only giving you the information. It goes on to say that in his conversation with Lou Engle, Johnson followed his baseball prediction with two even more significant prophecies. He went on to say that, quote, I told Lou Engle that Amy Coney Barrett would be set in as Supreme Court Justice before the election, and that Donald Trump would be elected or re-elected, or he would win a second term. I believe that this would take place, and he went on to say that, quote, I told Lou Engle that if all three of these things happened, it would be a sign to him, and this is Lou Engle, that Engle would be called to 1 million women to the mall in Washington, D.C. to see Roe versus Wade overturned in America. So, guys, let's stop for a second and digest a lot of this. So, number one, first of all, Jeremiah Johnson says that the Lord spoke to him that three things would take place. Number one, that the Dodgers would win the World Series. Now, this has been documented, and I want to say that this is all documented before any of these events happen. We know that the Dodgers won the World Series, so that's interesting. Number two, we know that Amy Coney Barrett did, in fact, end up being seated as Supreme Court Justice, and it happened before the election. So the only one left out of these three prophecies is the re-election of Donald Trump. Now, so again, it's going to be interesting to see if Trump indeed wins the re-election. And if... and when he does, I said if and when he does, thus all three of these would happen. But here's what makes it interesting. Let me go to the second part of this. Then Johnson says that this would be a, quote, sign, and it would be a mandate for Lou Engle to call forth a movement of 1 million women to go to the mall in Washington to, quote, see Roe versus Wade overturned in America. So do you believe that Roe versus Wade could be overturned in America? Again, quote, and so I believe that Amy Coney Barrett is a modern day Esther, Johnson says, and God has called Lou Engle like a modern day Mordecai. And I believe that Amy Coney Barrett has opened up what I am calling a, quote, new Esther and Deborah era in the body of Christ, where we're going to see a, quote, massive righteous women's movement. He's went on to say, I believe the Lord revealed this to me, that Roe versus Wade, and it really is a woman's issue, and God is going to call forth women from all over America to gather at the mall one day to see Roe versus Wade overturned. So, again, interesting. I want to read the rest of this. Johnson went on to make some prophetic words about the media as well. Quote, he said, the lying media has become the modern day false prophets of Baal. He went on to say that, quote, and so I believe that even regarding the polls we see, this was different things with coronavirus, with the statistics not matching. I just believe that the lying media is at work. I believe that God is looking for an ally to accompany a remnant that is not going to believe or buy into the lies and acknowledge that God is not done with the church. He's not done with America. And he has set forth Trump in place for some incredible things that are going to happen in the years ahead. Now, he is not alone. Johnson is not alone in this thought process. In fact, another individual by the name of Hank Kuhneman, he resides as a senior pastor of his Lord of Hosts Church in Omaha, Nebraska. He recently came forth and released a, quote, word of knowledge about not only the presidential election today, but how God's power and glory would prevail over the U.S. and for some time to come. Kuhneman stated, quote, "Not only am I walking, says the Lord of Hosts, upon this land, the United States of America, but I have come as I walk upon this land, as I stand upon the very soil of this nation, I have come at this time to place my feet as I walk upon every state of your union, every city I visit. Now is the time, says the Lord God of Hosts, that I have come to execute from the throne of judgment, the throne of the one who is seated as the Lord and judge of all." He went on to say that, quote, "Too many are looking for and expecting evil. Too many are looking and expecting there to be bad. Too many are gripped with fear. This is grievous in my sight." So he's actually, this is more than just a prophetic word or a word of knowledge. This is actually quoting, Kuhneman is saying that the Lord is speaking directly through him. This is why you're saying, when I read this, you'll hear the Lord says, or the Lord said unto me, and thus says the Lord. So I want to read this. Just, I want you to think about that for a second. Quote, he's alleging that the Lord is saying that too many are looking for and expecting evil during this time. Too many are looking and expecting there to be bad. Too many are gripped with fear. This is grievous in my sight, says the Lord. Yet I say, as I stand upon this land, I stand over your election. I stand over the outcome of the election, and I stand over the days leading up to the election. Watch this week, and it shall be shaken. Quote, but watch. Too many are expecting evil to prevail. Quote, yet I say, look and expect the light to expose darkness, light to overcome darkness, goodness to prevail over evil, and for the new era that I have promised. Therefore, I have come at this time to walk upon this nation and to execute judgment, as I have said. You say, quote, God, what judgment do you speak of? I have come to execute a gag order against the forces of darkness and the lying spirits. Again, this is a quote from Kuhneman. He goes on to say, quote, watch this very closely. A gag order. G for my goodness, A for my all, and G for my glory. That's what he's talking about, gag, G-A-G. This the enemy fears, says the Lord, as I have come and walked upon this nation at this time. Not only have I implemented a gag order of my goodness, my all and my glories, so do not fear, yet watch. I've implemented a restraining order where there are certain things where the enemy thought he could overplay his hand. He shall be stripped, he shall be shamed, and he shall be made to look like the fool. Again, that is a direct quote from Pastor Hank Kuhneman of his Lord of Hosts Church in Omaha, Nebraska, concerning the upcoming election, saying that the Lord showed him that Trump will win a second term. Now let's move on. Pastor John Kilpatrick recently came out along with another pastor that we'll discuss here in a second, and has gave warnings for America. Now this is interesting. So watch this. You have one pastor said, you know, don't focus on the evil, don't focus on the darkness, don't focus on the negative. It's going to be glory, it's going to be good, it's going to be great, it's going to be astounding, it's going to be revival, it's going to be this. But then you have what I call dueling prophets. Then you have Pastor John Kilpatrick, who was noted as the pastor of Pensacola, Florida, where a well-renowned revival that began on June 18th of 1995 on Father's Day, but currently resides at Church of His Presence in Alabama. K- Kilpatrick recently delivered, and I'm going to read this, a sobering and powerful message to America where he warned about God's reckoning, where he says that this is both a warning and hope. According to Charisma News, who originally reported this, Kilpatrick delivered the message on the Thursday, October 8th of last month, where he stated, quote, "The Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning," said Kilpatrick, "and it was, quote, before daylight, and I was sitting in my dark den just praying after I got up, and I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me and say, quote, there are less than 30 days before the day of reckoning begins." I just want to emphasize what he said here. "And it sort of took me by surprise," according to Kilpatrick. I quote, "I didn't really know what to do with it, but as I began to pray about it, I really felt like the Lord was showing me three different categories." He goes on to say that, "I believe the first category is the Lord showing me that the church, his true church, is going to be kept and protected and watched over. And you know, God always said that his people, whenever they would humble themselves and pray, that he would hear, he would forgive, and he would heal the land. But I really felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me as well that these days of reckoning that are coming are days that God's going to begin to deal with the apostate church, the church that has become apostate." And by that, Kilpatrick said, "I mean the church, basically, they just veered from the Lord," says Kilpatrick. "And they have bound and gagged the Holy Spirit." That's interesting. He used the word gagged here because that other pastor used the word gag. He said the term gag order. "Basically, in churches, not only across this land, but in other nations as well, the church has become apostate," said Kilpatrick. "And I think it's probably part of the great falling away." Obviously, he's referring to Thessalonians, that Paul addressed the church of Thessalonica. He used that term. Quote, "But I believe God loves the church so much that he's going to deal with it." He went on to say that, quote, "And that's why he gave me that warning about the days of reckoning are going to begin in less than 30 days. Now, remember, this was on October 8th. So now we have five more days from the making of this podcast, which is the November 3rd. We are now 5 days out from this. We are in that 30-day window. Kilpatrick said 23 days ago that the day of reckoning will begin in less than 30 days. So we have 5 days left of this window. Quote, "And so the third area is I feel like God's going to deal with, what he's going to deal with is that America has turned its back on God. And, quote, I believe God loves America and has a plan for America, but I believe he's going to deal with America. And days of reckoning are coming for the country as well." Kilpatrick also addressed the upcoming election. And he said, quote, "I feel confident and I feel very hopeful that because of the stance that President Trump has made, defending the unborn, defending Israel, as well as Jerusalem, and things that concern the body of Christ, the church, I just believe God is going to put him back in office." Quote, "I don't believe that, like many people have said, I don't believe that he, or I'm sorry, I just believe, I skipped a line here. Quote, "I do believe that he's God's man," but Kilpatrick said, listen to this, quote, "I don't believe that, like many people have said, that he's a man of God." I want to read that again. Kilpatrick said, "I don't believe that he's a man of God, but I believe he's God's man." That's a pretty powerful statement right there. Wow, I could have... And can I be honest with you? If Kilpatrick said that, I'm just going to go ahead and say that as well. Because that's what I believe. I believe, and before everybody gets mad at me, just hear me out for a second. I've heard with my own ears Trump get up in rallies and use the word GD. He's used very offensive language. And don't get me started on some of the things he's did that would be deemed offensive that I don't believe is Christ-like. So I want to just, I love what he said right here. "I don't believe that he's a man of God, but I believe he's God's man." So I love that. I'm going to go with that because I believe that he's the man that God is using in this hour. He used him for 4 years and look what he did. So it's interesting. That's a very good concept here. Now, let me read on. He says, I believe that his message is resonating with people who are in both political parties, that they don't want to see the police defunded. They don't want to see terrorism take over the nation. They don't want to see a lot of things that we see happening daily on our news broadcast. And I really do believe that there are going to be people who may be of the other persuasions other than what the president stands for. But, quote, I believe they're going to vote for him because they're afraid of their country, for their country, and they're afraid of the trajectory that the country is on. He went on to say, I do believe that he'll go back in, and I don't believe it'll be a slim margin. Let me say that again. I do believe that he'll go back in, and I don't believe it will be by a slim margin. So Kirkpatrick believes that Trump will win a second term, and he says that he don't believe it'll be by a slim margin. He says, quote, I believe he'll go back in probably be with an overwhelming vote. And that's where he ended his commentary. Now, I want to get to another pastor. This one is a pastor who is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, Southern California, Pastor Jack Hibbs. A lot of people I know talk about him on social media and Facebook and so on and so forth. Hibbs recently wrote a piece for Charisma News and warned that America can only... I'm just going to read it how the Charisma wrote it, okay? So don't get mad at me. Take it up with them. He warned that America can only be saved under the leadership of Donald Trump as president. Hibbs went on to state that the 2020 presidential election is a clear choice between a president who understands America first and a presidential nominee who is eager to give the keys to our country to the world, according to Pastor Jack Hibbs. He went on to stress that President Trump has stood up to the forces of globalism that has attacked him with ferocity like never before, because he understands that the U.S. should never yield its sovereignty. Hibbs went on to say that, quote, as we look at organizations such as the UN, NATO, World Bank, IMF and the World Health Organization, or treaties such as the Paris Climate Agreement, Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the Global Compact for Immigration, it's difficult to deny that the world is heading towards a, quote, global government. For sometimes, this is the dream of globalization. For others, losing our sovereignty is the worst thing for the U.S. The COVID pandemic helped us realize that we have become too dependent on other countries for our medical supplies, drugs. Globalism, it, quote, is at stake for we, the people. The Great Republic of America was originally built on the promise of individual liberty, freedom, and free enterprise. And Hibbs went on to say that, sadly, this foundation, quote, has become misunderstood and is threatened today by many American citizens. Hibbs went on to say that President Trump has proven his commitment to nationalism through policy and action and has pulled America out of nurturing agreements and organizations like the Paris Climate Accord and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, and because they were designed to drag us into globalist one-world government. He goes on to say that basically Trump is our only hope of not going into a full globalization or America being globalized. So this was a strong warning, again, from Pastor Jack Hibbs of California. And I want to move on. And again, I didn't post all these guys. There's many more. I believe R.L. Sanford was another one that prophesied. There was another alleged prophet that was a former New Age guy. He's prophesied. There's so many that there's no way I could sit here and take all the time to list all these people that's come out and said either the Lord has spoken to them, they've gotten a dream, a vision, a prophetic word, or an unction or whatnot, that Trump will win a second term. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens and see how this plays out. Now, one popular conservative writer and radio host has warned that a Biden win would spell, quote, the end of America as we know it. This is coming from a conservative commentator and popular radio host, Eric Metaxas. I believe that's how you pronounce that, Metaxas. And forgive me if I mispronounced that. Just forgive me. We're going to move on. We're going to say, but nevertheless, he's come out stressing that what he calls is very, very vocal support for Donald Trump. The conservative commentator went on to say that he is very concerned and he's troubled that many Christians don't seem to think it's important to vote their biblical values. And he said that, quote, this breaks my heart because it's, number one, wrong, and number two, because it hurts people. He went on to say that, quote, if you don't vote your biblical values, you don't really care. That's a strong statement. You don't know who you're voting for. Quote, you're not voting for a person. You're voting for an administration. You're voting for the future, and you're voting for the policies. He went on to say that he believes that Trump represents an administration and a set of policies that if we don't get them, the alternative is, quote, horrifying and will spell the end of America as we know it. And that, unfortunately, is not an exaggeration, according to Metaxas. I believe that's how you pronounce that, Metaxas. He went on to say, quote, it's really unconscionable that the press has abdicated its role in America, and that the media is all into take Trump down. And quote, and I think that reason alone would give you a hint that you're not getting the whole story when you're getting that kind of biased reporting. He went on to say that, quote, the report says that he shoots down the theory of Biden being a, quote, nice guy, saying that if you are advocating for policies that are going to, and I quote, rip children out of their mother's womb, I don't see how you get to be in the nice guy category. He went on to say that, quote, he's been a staunch supporter of abortion on demand, and then worse than that, he claims to be a practicing Christian. He says that, quote, Biden claims to be a practicing Catholic Christian. Isn't that kind of an oxymoron? But anyway, Catholics have been the strongest in standing against abortion. That's the point that he's trying to make. Now, I'm going to read on. Now, let's get to some foreign policy concerns here. CBN News recently interviewed Michael Oren, who is a former Israeli ambassador to the United States. During this interview, it was very interesting. He stressed that he believes that a Biden win or Biden victory would result in his administration reversing, listen to me, certain Trump policies that benefit the nation of Israel. This is pretty big. The Biden administration would deal with Iran, according to, again, one of Oren's concerns, one of the main concerns is that he is concerned that the Biden administration would deal with Iran and the possible resumption of the Iranian nuclear deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. He goes on to say that he, hold on, sorry guys, let me flip this over. He goes on to say, with respect to Iran, both the former vice president and his running mate, Kamala Harris, have said unequivocally they intend to renew the nuclear deal of 2015, which was under the Obama administration. If Iran returns to the level of uranium enrichment established by the nuclear deal, which is not hard for Iran to do, and that has profound ramifications for Israel and the Mideast. He goes on, here's what's interesting, he says that he is concerned about the Abraham Accords that President Trump has been influential in setting forth. Remember, the United Arab Emirates has already agreed to this, Bahrain, and then you had the recent of Sudan, and Trump has recently come out and said that there could be up to 10 more nations. that could be involved in pursuing peace with the middle with Israel. So Oren believes a Biden administration would not, in quote, invest in those accords the way that the Trump administration has. And he goes on and says, quote, I don't think they're going to invest money, for example, in building the Israeli-Sudanese peace because that belongs to the Trump era. Again, the emphasis will be on the Palestinian issue, not the Abrahamic Accords. Oren went on to say that, quote, I know personally from being in contact with business associates in these areas, everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with these elections. He went on to say that, quote, he also stated that regardless of who wins the election, Israel will be looking to maintain its traditionally close relationship with the U.S. So, again, guys, it's not just the United States that we're concerned about here with this election, but the nation of Israel. So this is interesting. Now, let's talk about how is America preparing for tonight, tomorrow, and I probably say the next 3 to 4 weeks. So I absolutely do not believe by the time the clock strikes midnight tonight, we are not going to know who is the next president. No way. They've already said there's already the mail-in ballot issue, delays, the whole list goes on. So you're not going to know who's going to win this election. I believe it's going to go on for probably 2 weeks minimum. But nevertheless, what we're seeing right now is the calm before the storm. All over the country, multiple businesses, East Coast and West Coast, are temporarily shutting down stores. They're boarding up their stores and places of establishment. And the National Guard troops are being deployed. In fact, we posted a report today that over 1,000 troops has been deployed to Massachusetts. We know that 1,000 troops, over 1,000 has been deployed to Texas, to 5 states there. We know in Washington, there's different locations all over America. In fact, 77% of all voters that were recently polled by Yahoo News expect that, quote, violence will break out after the election. 77%. More than 3,600 troops are active in 16 states, including 1,000 troops in Massachusetts, 300 in Arizona, 300 in Alabama, and an undisclosed number in Florida. Think about that, an undisclosed. They won't even give us the actual numbers of how many troops have been dispatched in Florida, Oregon, and Illinois. So if you live in Florida, Oregon, and Illinois, they're not even letting us know how many troops have been dispatched to these cities. The Massachusetts and Oregon troops will be on standby in case of, quote, civil unrest, and the Arizona forces will be on standby for rapid deployment anywhere in the western portion of the nation if requested by any governor at any time. National Guard officials in Illinois would not elaborate on the roles their newly activated troops would even play. And at least 3,671 Guard troops have been committed to the effort. The size of the authorized deployments ranges from 1,000 in Texas and Massachusetts to a single soldier in Wyoming. Some states are yet to determine how many troops will even be activated, and many states have merely alerted selected units in anticipation of possible post-election unrest. In Washington, D.C., authorities are expecting vast numbers of protesters, and even a no-climb fence will be put up around the entire White House complex. With Election Day preparations in full swing across the country, the White House will have a, quote, no-climb fence installed this week around the entire complex, according to a law enforcement officer who told Fox News on Monday. In other major cities, entire city blocks are being boarded up with plywood in anticipation of widespread violence. Businesses across America have boarded up their windows ahead of a potential chaos following tonight's election. And again, I believe it's going to surpass the next 24 hours, but I believe it's going to go weeks. As special police units prepare to tackle looters and rioters, and foreign governments warn people not to visit the U.S. for fear of civil unrest. In cities all over the country on Monday, retailers, offices, and art galleries were putting plywood on their windows to protect their inventory ahead of tonight's election and the mayhem it might spark, no matter which candidate wins the election. So, guys, this, again, at the time of this, we went 40 minutes into this update. Again, it's around 3:40 p.m. Eastern. Things are going to start heating up depending on your zones, your time zones. When the polls close, things are going to start heating up. All I got to say is just be careful, be prayed up, be ready, be vigilant. Don't be ignorant. Use wisdom. I know what I'm going to be doing tonight. I'm going to be inside. I'm not going to be out anywhere, and I'm going to be inside safe with my family watching this thing go down. So, again, if you live in any of these major cities, guys, you need to be alert. You need to be ready. You need to be prepared because we don't know what crazy things are down the pike. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how this thing's going to unfold. And I'm going to tell you, sadly, let's just say hypothetically speaking, to stay in the context of our conversation today, if all these modern day prophets are right, these pastors, charismatic Pentecostal leaders, those who have prophesied, those that have had dreams, those that have had visions, those that have said that without a doubt they believe that Trump's going to win the re-election. Let's just say hypothetically that he does win the re-election. What do you think is going to be the outcome of that? What do you think is going to be the results? How do you think that's going to be reacted? How do you believe the response is going to be? Well, friends, hello. I think we already know the answer to that based upon the actions that are being taken by businesses. Listen, boarding up their businesses, deploying troops and this and that. All I can say is this: look at the track record. Who is destroying business? Who's burning down businesses? Who's looting? Who's doing this? So there's some food for thought today as we close. Let's do a quick prayer, guys, before we close this segment. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us. If you're watching my Facebook Live, there's right underneath our the description, there's a link right there. Please subscribe. Click on that link. Subscribe to our daily digest. Don't rely on Facebook, Twitter, and all these. Get our digest, put your name in, subscribe to it. You'll get one inbox every single day in your inbox. Please do that. Download our free app. You can find that at the App Store, Android Store. Just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to find that. That's how you're going to follow us. Keep up with this. Listen, if you like to sow into this ministry, if our ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, and anytime you want to partner with us, sow into us, you can do that. There's places to give all over the website. You can donate, you can click, go to the app, go down to the bottom, click on it. There's a physical mailing address. All that information is there for you, for your benefit, to help support the ministry and keep doing what we're doing. So we appreciate that. So let's pray real quick, guys. I want to pray specifically for this election and for this process. Father, I thank you for our brothers and sisters that may be watching this live via by Facebook, that will watch the rebroadcast of this on YouTube, or will be listening to this by podcast. I pray for those that are all throughout the United States of America, whatever city they're in, whatever town they're in, whatever location they're in. God, first and foremost, we pray for their protection. We plead the blood of Jesus. I profess the blood of Jesus over their home, over their families, over their businesses, over their places of employment, over their churches, over their children, over their possessions. I declare Psalm 91 over these things and declare that no evil shall befall them, no plague shall come out of thy dwelling. Only with their eyes shall they look and see the reward of the wicked. 1,000 may fall at their side and 10,000 at their right hand, but it shall not come nigh their dwelling. I'm asking God that you'd release angels to protect them in the supernatural and do what they can't do in the natural. Lord, that you'd give wisdom to those that are listening right now. If they're in places that are hot spots and cities that could be deemed dangerous and unstable, I pray that they would make the right choices for their families, that they would be prepared, whether it be physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially. They would make the preparations that are deemed necessary for the coming weeks to come. And Lord, you said if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and you said you would give it to us. So Lord, we're asking for your wisdom in this. We're asking for your direction in this, and we thank you that you give it accordingly. And Lord, last but not least, we pray for the outcome of this election. God, we pray according to the word of God. You said that when a righteous leader is over a nation, the people are in jubilation and they rejoice. But when wickedness is over a land, when wickedness is over a nation, the people, Lord, the people are oppressed. So, Lord, we ask that righteousness would prevail. Not a man, not a party, but, Lord, righteousness and the will of God would prevail in this election. Whatever you will, whatever you purpose in 2020, we ask that it would come to fruition. Lord, if you will to give us a reprieve for a greater purpose that you already set in motion, then we say, so be it, Lord. But God, if our nation has filled the cup of the indignation of the wrath of God, and Lord, you see to it that your will's going to be done, Father, for you, we know that the word of God says that, Lord, even in the midst of blessing, you're there, but in the midst of judgment, you're still on the throne. So, Father, our hands and our lives, our families and our nation is in the hands of you, God. And we ask for your sovereignty to be done. We ask for your will to be done. And Lord, we thank you that, Father, it's you who sets up kings and sets down kings. But we know that the church, the ecclesia, has a role. And you said, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sins and their wicked ways, you said that, Lord God, you would hear from heaven and that you would heal our land. So Lord, we're praying that God, you would heal our land through hearing the cries of repentance and intercession and prayers from your people in this hour as we turn to you. And God, if there's anybody that is putting their faith and their hope in a man or a politician, then shame on them. Father, for we cannot, we've learned that from King Saul. We cannot put our hope and reside all of our faith and hope in a man because he will fail us. But we put our faith and we put our hope in you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are truly the only hope and faith we have in seeing a nation survive and thrive in 2020. And we pray it, we decree it, and we believe it, and we rest it in your hands, and we say, and God's people say, amen and amen. All right, guys. God bless you. Again, thank you so much for taking this time out to come on here for this special final thoughts of the election. We will probably, today's Tuesday. We will either be back on here tomorrow or Thursday. I promise I've got a word of encouragement I want to do. We'll probably have some more prophetic viewpoints that we'll do. So we've got a lot of things on deck, but we just got to play it out. Depending on how things go tonight and how do they go tomorrow, we'll try to be back on here tomorrow. Or if not tomorrow, we'll be back on Thursday. So God bless you guys. Be safe. Again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your contributions to this ministry. And thank you for support. We'll see you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.